Welcome to Family Talk with host, author, and psychologist, and of course, my dad, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson, and Dad, today we have part two of a very important program planned, and I know this subject is very close to your heart.
Well, it certainly is, Ryan. I have a scripture verse in front of me that I would love to read in order to get us started because it sets the tone for our discussion today. It comes from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9, and it says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." Now, that's a command for us from Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived other than Jesus. And we take it very seriously here at Family Talk. And yesterday, we came to these microphones to defend millions of unborn children, more than a million per year, who are murdered here in the United States and far more around the world. And we want to defend young children who are being abused and raped. And in many cases, that sexual assault is not being reported because the people who have the responsibility to intervene on behalf of that child are not doing so to protect their own enterprises. And so that's what we're going to talk about again today.
It's just so sad. And that's why I'm glad that we have a real authority on this subject right here in our Family Talk studio.
Phil Klein is with us again today. He served as the Attorney General of the state of Kansas from 2002 to 2006, and he served as District Attorney in Kansas, and he's now a professor at Liberty School of Law in Virginia. Phil Klein is a hero to me for the way he upheld the law in that state, particularly as it related to enforcing laws that pertained to sexual abuse of children and those that restricted late-term abortions. Phil, for the benefit of those who didn't hear us last time, we need to summarize just a little bit so they can get up to speed with what's happened to you. Let's go back to your term of service as the Attorney General of Kansas. You became aware that a large number of children were coming into clinics for abortions, and they were 15 years of age or younger, which meant that they had either been used sexually by a boy their own age or potentially sexually abused or raped by older teenage boys or men.
Correct.
And you can imagine that some of them may have been child abusers that lived in the neighborhood or uncles or coaches or whoever, and that Planned Parenthood was not reporting it.
Yes.
And I think you said there were more than 160 children who received abortions in the state of Kansas in 1 year, and there was only one child, one case reported
from Planned Parenthood and one from Dr. Tiller, a total of two.
That's breathtaking. And so as Attorney General, you determined to do something about this, and you began trying to get the records of those abortions to get the facts, to see how old the child was and when it occurred and how and so on.
Absolutely.
And you could not get it. It was blocked by the Supreme Court of the state of Kansas and blocked in numerous ways by Governor Sebelius, who is now the Secretary of Health and Human Services for the U.S. government, appointed by President Obama. And so the whole power structure of the pro-choice movement came down on your head. They had to discredit you. They had to defeat you at the polls, and they had to do everything they could to discourage you. And you went through about everything that they can throw at you, didn't you?
Well, it was a learning experience, yes.
And you lost the election.
I lost the election, but replaced the person who beat me in his position. We switched positions. I was elected to his position. He had to leave midterm.
And so he became Attorney General, but you became a district attorney.
And Planned Parenthood was located in that district so I could continue my investigation. of Planned Parenthood.
Otherwise, they would have just completely squashed it.
Oh, absolutely. The guy who ran against me said I'd end the investigation. If he got elected, he would end the investigation. And so it allowed me to continue the Planned Parenthood investigation, but the Dr. Tiller investigation was not able to be continued because he was in Wichita. I had filed charges against Dr. Tiller.
Mm. Remind everybody of who he was, because he's dead now.
Dr. Tiller was the premier late-term abortionist in the world, and he performed abortions in Wichita, Kansas, up to the moment of birth for several years, and people from around the world came to Kansas to get their abortion. And what I learned in the investigation, that although Kansas law required that the woman have to suffer a severe injury to justify a late-term abortion. So she had to have something seriously physically wrong with her to justify an abortion on a viable child. Dr. Tiller, and this is from actual cases, would perform abortions because the mother didn't want to hire a babysitter to go to a rock concert.
That was her stated reason?
Yes.
Why are you getting an abortion? Because I want to go to a concert and I don't want to hire a babysitter.
I go to a lot of concerts. I'm a Bow Wow artist fan and I don't want to hire a babysitter. And Dr. Tiller would say that's severe impairment of a major bodily function. He would rationalize the brain is a part of the body. It's a major part of the body. The child would likely live longer than the mother if born. The mother would worry about the child, and worrying impairs the brain.
Oh, my goodness.
You see, if there's no truth, those words have no meaning.
Yeah.
So I filed charges against Dr. Tiller. But the following day, a district attorney down there who had protected Dr. Tiller for years, without telling me, went to a traffic court judge and got my charges dismissed, claiming that I did not have jurisdiction.
Wait a minute. Let's make sure people heard that. Instead of going to an appropriate judicial source to make that decision, she went to a traffic court judge.
Yeah, she went to a judge that was assigned to traffic at the time and did not review the evidence and dismissed the charges without notifying me. And so I appealed that decision, trying to get it up to the Supreme Court of Kansas, which again was appointed by Sebelius, 5 of the 7 by her or her lieutenant governor for life.
Extremely liberal.
Extremely liberal. However, I left office and the person who followed me dismissed the appeal. But under pressure, and I predicted this, he filed what he called and what were highly technical charges against Dr. Tiller. See, he had the political pressure. Mm-hmm. And I believe that he was going to – now, this is going to throw you for a loop too. This is the story of Dr. Tiller's trial. I always believed that my successor in office would plea that out and allow Dr. Tiller to continue the abortions, make him pay a fine and allow him to continue.
Sure.
But my successor had to resign because he had an affair with a woman in my office who used to work for him. Remember, we switched offices.
Yeah.
And he was using that affair to gather information about the investigation of the abortion clinics. And when that became public, he had to resign. So Sebelius appointed his successor. That successor, who's now up for nomination to the federal bench, that successor decided he'd take it to trial, but he took the charges against Tiller to trial and only called one witness, what we call in law a hostile witness. Only one witness who denied everything that the prosecutor put before that witness. Yeah. The prosecutor then stipulated that every abortion that Dr. Tiller performed was medically necessary, rehabilitating him before the jury.
So it was rigged, completely rigged.
And he was acquitted.
Huh.
The substantive real charges never went to court.
That made headlines all over the country.
The acquittal.
Yeah, that Tiller was judged not guilty.
You see, one of the issues we have in Kansas is we only have 3 megaphones. Kansas City Star, Wichita Eagle are owned by the same people, and the Associated Press Bureau, which is very liberal. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City Star won the Margaret Sanger Award from Planned Parenthood for how they covered me. They actually portrayed me as a child molester sitting on a park bench with my hand up a little girl's skirt because of my investigation and saying that I was invading children's privacy. That's the pride of journalism in Kansas. So the national media, relying on the Kansas media to get the story out of Kansas, never got the story out of Kansas about the depth of corruption, about the inability of the legal system to work, about the extraordinary efforts of a Supreme Court appointed by a pro-abortion governor who now heads up as Secretary of Health and Human Services on the national level. She heads up the effort to prevent Planned Parenthood from being investigated for child rape. Wow. Her agency is the one that should do that. About the extraordinary effort of her court and herself to prevent these criminal charges, legitimate criminal charges, in which every judge who's reviewed the evidence has found probable cause to believe that crimes have been committed, from ever reaching the light of day. That's the story in Kansas. The lie has become the truth.
They don't care what happens to children.
That's right.
It's stunning to me.
You know, your tenacity reminds me, I read a quote not long ago from Winston Churchill, and it says, if you're going through hell, keep going.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ryan. I have been blessed beyond measure in my life with an incredible wife, an incredible daughter, wonderful friends, and the grace of God that saves me in eternity. So there's nothing ever
that they can do to you
that they can touch me mm-hmm. with.
And they've tried. I mean, out-of-pocket expenses for these lawsuits has got to be astronomical.
Well, I became district attorney. Mm-hmm. And I continued the investigation of Planned mm-hmm. Parenthood. And I got sued again by Planned Parenthood and the new attorney general, trying to argue I had no right as a prosecutor to have the evidence that I had already obtained against Planned Parenthood. And so I had to fight that one. But when I went to a district court judge, showed him the evidence against Planned Parenthood in October of 2007, he found probable cause to believe that Planned Parenthood committed 107 criminal acts, including 23 felonies. Wow. I filed charges, first charges ever filed against Planned Parenthood. Immediately, you won't believe this, what my Supreme Court did. They ordered a secret trial. I was ordered into a star chamber. The public was excluded from it. No one knew about it. Where the criminal defendant got to put me and my prosecutors under oath, and I had to pay for that trial personally, just to keep the evidence against Planned Parenthood in a Kansas court. Then later, as that process moves forward, I called a judge as a witness, and he testified in open court in Kansas that it appears Planned Parenthood manufactured documents and committed felonies to cover up misdemeanors. Without telling me, that Supreme Court, majority appointed by Governor Sebelius, issued a secret order silencing that witness from ever speaking again about that information. I eventually learned of that and had to appeal that, and the Supreme Court rescinded its order in 2010. These are records relating to 2003, and the Supreme Court is silencing witnesses up to 2010.
Mm-hmm. Phil, where was the pro-life community?
That's a good question.
Did they come to your defense? Did they contribute to your financial needs at that time? I mean, was there any evidence that anybody gave a hoot?
Well, there was, but as I mentioned, Dr. Dobson, a business recognizes threat before a cause recognizes opportunity. And so I had the national abortion industry targeting me for destruction. The pro-life community nationally would pay attention during a news cycle. And it was encouraging. But they did not marshal resources like they were able to marshal resources on the pro-abortion side.
Well, I'm not going to name names, but there are people at a very high level in Kansas government who could have come to your aid and didn't have the courage to do that.
That's right.
And it was disgraceful, the fact that they let you handle this by yourself when there were children involved.
That's point three of what you said it takes for a child molester to survive: the cowardice of adults refusing to report it or stand up against it.
Well, I'll tell you what it teaches us. The next time, and the life community has worked for a long, long time in passing laws, but we truly have not focused on enforcement. And there are 3,000—
So we pass the laws, and then they're ignored.
We have a bill signing ceremony, and then we forget it. And there are 3,000 prosecutors elected every year out there in this nation. And we are working. I am leading an effort to identify the right place to put these folks. And then we're going to support them. We're going to ensure that when they approach this Goliath, that there's going to be an army standing behind mm-hmm. them to assist them to be able to complete the job. And if I could, I'd like to mention a website people can go to if they're interested. www.standwithtruth.com. Mm-hmm. Standwithtruth.com. And another location is PlannedParenthoodCorruption.org.
We will have that at myfamilytalk.com.
Good.
Thank you.
Now, you're no longer district attorney.
Right.
Did you lose another election?
Oh, yes. I'll tell you, the Phil Klein that is defined in Kansas, I would not vote for. They completely stole my name mm-hmm. and redefined who I am as a human being. And I couldn't get a job in Kansas. It was so nasty.
And you're a professor at Liberty University School of Law now. And
I love doing that. Greatly enjoy it. We live in Virginia.
But you have not given up the fight.
Not at all. And I also, they're still trying to get me. And my criminal case is still on file. They couldn't get that dismissed even though I left office because a judge found probable cause and the evidence is strong. So the Kansas Supreme Court filed an ethics complaint against me. Among the things they're claiming, Dr. Dobson, is that it was unethical for me to start the investigation unless a child had come forward and said that Planned Parenthood or George Tiller had not reported their rape.
Yeah, wait a minute. A 13-year-old is going to come in and tell you that she has been raped. And she has to tell you or you can't prosecute.
I can't investigate.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not just her coming saying, I've been raped. It's coming to you saying, I've been raped. I was at Planned Parenthood and they didn't report it.
That's insane. I mean, that's why we have mandatory reporting laws. Only 0.5% of children report their own rapes. And secondly, law enforcement doesn't need a judge or somebody to tell them they can investigate. If I'm driving down the street in a police cruiser, I hear an alarm, I hear gunshots, I see a masked man carrying loot and a shotgun outside the bank, I don't have to wait for the bank to call. Oh. That's craziness. But that is the insanity of Kansas. The other claim, of course, and there are several along these lines, that I had to tell the Sebelius administration what I was investigating. No, I didn't.
But
you don't have to tell
witnesses.
They said I did, and they're claiming it's unethical. Law enforcement can deceive. It's called undercover investigations.
That's right.
We don't have to go to a drug dealer and say, I'm investigating you for drugs, and do you have the dope?
You know, imagine a woman out there today who was 14 when some man kidnapped her or invaded her home and raped her and abused her, and no one has come to her defense, and she's listening to us right now. I'll bet you there are some right now listening to the radio who were abused in that way, and no one helped her because the power structure blocked the assistance she should have gotten.
I can't tell you the number of women who have come forward to me during this 8 years and said, you know, that was me. It was my uncle. It was my stepfather.
Is this why you do what you do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, while I was attorney general during the end of my term, I got a report from an adoption agency of a young girl who had given birth to a young child. And the adoption agency believed abuse might have been involved in the conception of that child. I reported that to the district attorney down there. An eventual investigation revealed that that child had been raped repeatedly by her stepfather, and there were several abortions, but no one did a thing.
Ugh.
And the rapes continued on her and her sister.
And it's going on today.
It's going on right now.
And several weeks ago, a month or so ago, the Congress tried to defund Planned Parenthood. I don't know the degree to which this information played a role, but President Obama and the Democrats in the Senate simply said, we will not tolerate any reduction in funds to Planned Parenthood. I mean, they protect their own.
They are as zealous about this issue as we are. And that can be baffling to pro-lifers and Christians. But, you know, Dr. Dobson, as I've looked at our nation, under the bloodshed of abortion, we are a nation of shame. And shame has two expressions, vitriol, anger, and rationalization, which is what you see.
Yeah.
Or silence and isolation and fear, unless the grace of God intervenes. And I think that's what we face on the other side. I have not found the ability in our culture to discuss abortion rationally. We have lost. In fact, we're losing our ability to discuss many things rationally, but most certainly abortion.
Let me say something to our listeners who have been in this pro-life struggle since 1973, some of them, and they have been ridiculed for it and rejected for it, and they've lost battle after battle after battle, and they're tired of it. And they are saying to themselves, it's not winnable. I can't do it anymore. I've done all I can, and I'm through. And they will not even listen to a story like this because it is too disturbing. I want to say to those folks, don't give up.
That's right.
There's a child out there who needs you. There's a baby out there that will never have a voice, never have a chance, if you do not use your influence in the political arena. When you go to vote, does this influence the way you cast your ballot? Mm-hmm. You know, we must not quit. We must not give up.
Absolutely.
And in many ways, we're winning. At least we're free here to tell your story.
Yeah.
There aren't very many places that would want to hear your story.
That's right.
The Lord never said, only fight the sin that you're positive you can stop and you can win that battle.
Yeah.
You know, winnable shouldn't be part of the equation.
The battle is the Lord's.
That's right. It is a righteous battle to protect those who cannot protect themselves. Whether or not you can win it is irrelevant.
Ryan, in these two programs, yesterday and today, with former Attorney General Phil Klein, people have heard your passion.
Hmm.
The questions you've asked and the comments that you've made. Why does it matter to you?
For a billion reasons. But first and foremost, because I'm adopted. My birth mom was 16, had four brothers and sisters. And when that happens today, there is a very low survival rate for people like me. So I take it personally. I travel around and I speak at crisis pregnancy centers and adoption homes and homes for young moms to help in this fight to save babies, and that I'm going through the adoption process myself. And it's difficult, but I talk about it passionately because it's personal.
Well, that is apparent in your words. Phil, what is the action line? What can people do? People have been listening to us for 2 days now, and they feel what we feel. Mm-hmm. What can they do about it?
Well, they need to let Congress know, and especially the Senate, that not only should we not fund abortion, we should not fund Planned Parenthood's concealment of
child rape.
That's one. Contact your senator. Two, contact both of the House and Senate and let them know they need to call Secretary Kathleen Sebelius before them and ask the tough questions. How did you cover this up and why did you cover this up in Kansas? And are you doing the same thing at the
national
level? Because
she was rewarded with that secretary's position in the cabinet for what she did in Kansas.
It's a very good assumption and observation. And then thirdly, I would encourage people to wake up on these local prosecutor elections. We need to start enforcing our laws, not just passing them.
Mm.
And if they want to learn more, they can visit us at standwithtruth.com or plannedparenthoodcorruption.com. But those three things, know who you're voting for local prosecutor, and call the House and Senate and tell them to ask Sebelius the tough questions. And third, defund Planned Parenthood. And there's a great effort to do that. And we need to get the senators on board.
Very quickly, Phil, what is the next step legally to be taken in this effort in the state of Kansas?
Well, as it relates to me, they're trying to take my law license. The Supreme Court filed the complaint. They appointed the prosecutor. They appointed the panel, and they'll hear the appeal. So in other words, I don't have much faith in the system.
Yeah.
I have faith in the truth. So I will continue to speak the truth. My hearing continues in late July. This is going to go on for another couple of years.
Well, I said in my introduction of you that you're a hero of mine. And
yes,
I mean that from the bottom of my heart. There are very few people out there that are willing to pay the price that you are. Even now, you may lose your law license because of what's going on. Not because you've done anything wrong, but because you threatened people in power. Thank you for paying that price, and God will reward you for it. I know He will.
Thank you.
It is so great to know that there are people out there like you fighting for truth and righteousness in the face of such persecution. I would love it if our listeners would share a word of encouragement with Phil, and they can do so on our Facebook page, and we've linked to that at myfamilytalk.com, and we will make sure to pass those along to him. Also there, you can find out how to contact your legislators and give them the messages you heard Phil talk about a moment ago regarding the taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. And if you are ready to call now, the Capitol Hill Switchboard phone number is 202-224-3121. Again, the Capitol Hill Switchboard, their phone number is 202-224-3121, and we will also have that number at myfamilytalk.com. If you'd like to learn more about this story, we'll link to Phil's organizations at myfamilytalk.com as well. And if you missed any of this information, you can call us for it. Our phone number here at Family Talk is 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for listening, and make sure to be with us Monday. We will have an incredibly special program planned remembering D-Day with audio from the beaches of Normandy. Don't miss the next Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.